The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-carat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, I visit the Kingdom of Washington, D.C. Rather entertaining and important episode about what our nation's capital has become while the rest of the country largely disintegrates. I want to make you aware of a new thing we have as a way to support this program. It's members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com. For those of you that currently support us at charliekirk.com/support, we're in the process of transferring you all over to members.charliekirk.com as a way to get exclusive content, as a way to support our program. So for those of you that are already supporting us, have no fear. We're in a transition process and you'll all like that. But those of you that have not yet supported our program, I think you guys should check out members.charliekirk.com. This is a way for you to directly get content that you can hear nowhere else, including my exclusive conversation with Tucker Carlson. That's right. There are different levels where you're able to subscribe and log in and support us at members.charliekirk.com. So in fact, let me just tease you. Here's a little bit of a tease, a crumb, a whisper of my incredible conversation with Tucker Carlson. Enjoy.
I was watching the other day. I'm actually not a huge Martin Luther King fan or whatever. Super flawed guy. But I was watching the audio of the last speech that he gave the night before he was killed, April 3rd, 1968. He was killed the next afternoon. And he gave this speech, and he had just been like cheating with a bunch of different women, okay?
Yeah, he had a tendency to
do that. Oh my gosh, no, he was like sexually out of control. But he gave this speech in which he clearly predicted his own death. Like, there is no doubt if you listen to this that God is speaking through Martin Luther King. And again, I don't like Martin Luther King's program. I don't like his behavior. There's a lot of, worshiping Martin Luther King is absurd to me. But I got to say, if you listen to that speech, God is speaking through Martin Luther King. There's no other explanation for that. And you're like, well, that's kind of consistent with what we know. We're all flawed. The people in charge tend to be more flawed. But it doesn't mean that they're not capable of greatness. So let's just be honest about it. The second you have to feel the need to pretend that you're perfect, you become a liar. And you become paradoxically even less perfect, in my opinion.
Now, if you want to listen to that entire thing exclusively, it's members.charliekirk.com. If we have blessed you in any way on this program, then please go to members.charliekirk.com, become a member. It helps us directly, and we deeply appreciate it. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and actually that's going to be our lead today. I have visited Washington, D.C. probably well over 100 times for different events and meetings throughout the years, and obviously when we had a good president, a president who actually loved America, I was a frequent visitor here. I have not been to Washington, D.C. in over 2 years. Very proud of that fact. I was actually here for some of our amazing student leaders. They were getting a tour of the Capitol, meeting with some leaders. Speaker McCarthy was a very gracious host, and he met with our students, and very thankful for that. But I want to kind of walk you through some things I observed, and it's nothing necessarily new, but it has only grown worse. Landed in Dulles International Airport. I'm sure many of you have done the same. You ride on the highway towards Washington, D.C., and first of all, the streets are perfectly manicured. It's plush, palatial, going from Dulles into Washington, D.C. And the roads are perfect. And I just think to myself, boy, you drive through rural Ohio or rural Indiana, they're not getting infrastructure plans like this. You got third world airports in half of America. You have entire electrical grids that are falling apart, but not when you land in the proximity of the nation's capital. And so I thought East Palestine, Ohio gets ignored, but boy, you drive. It's like the Autobahn on steroids. So you're driving in from Dulles International Airport on the famous 267 going in. It's called the Dulles, I think it's Dulles Access Road into downtown Washington, D.C. And I said, boy, that's strange. I haven't seen a lot of those when I visit Illinois or when I visit Wisconsin or when I visit Montana, when I visit flyover country, West Virginia, or when I started to see one, I started to count them. Construction cranes. Big, massive construction cranes. So I started to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 61 construction cranes from Dulles International Airport to downtown Washington, D.C. We turned off to go get some coffee, and I kid you not, at Tyson's Corner, the buildings that have now been built in the last couple of years in Washington, D.C. are some of the most elaborate structures that I've seen. I've been to all 50 states multiple times over, given a speech in 49 of the 50 states. There are not buildings like this anywhere, not even in New York City. I'm talking about the most sophisticated, elaborate architecture and expenditures. If you have no budget whatsoever in front of you, you build buildings like this. All glass, incredibly sophisticated engineering. When America was a great country, one thing that set America apart was how unimportant Washington, D.C. was relative to the rest of the country. D.C. was this kind of provincial city. It wasn't very big. It was a district. But it's been bloating up for decades now, and the boom never stops. Washington is now America's sixth largest city, and it is pouring over into the surrounding counties. And we've said for a while that 8 out of 10 of the wealthiest counties in America are around Washington, D.C. And when you see the restaurants, to the hotels, to the Porsche dealerships, to the Mercedes-Benz dealerships, to the fashion outlets, you say, my goodness, this is beyond high income. You would think that you are in Paris, London, Dubai, Beverly Hills. I drove by a Maserati dealer that was right next to a Tesla store. I stopped and I thought to myself and I asked our team in the car, I said, guys, have you ever seen such opulence? Such spending? And then the most obvious point. What do they create here? What do they create in the surrounding counties of Washington, D.C.? What do they make? Do they make cars? Do they make phones? Do they build big buildings? Well, they do, but is that the industry? No. Washington, D.C. and the surrounding counties collect tribute from the rest of the nation. Their cottage industry is forcibly extracting money from you so that they can get so fabulously wealthy. There is one recession-proof city in America. One, and it's right here, Washington, D.C. The trillions of dollars that we have borrowed, the trillions of dollars that you guys have to pay in taxes, it is not going to make East Palestine wealthier. It's not going to make Rapid City, South Dakota go through a middle-class renaissance. The middle class and the ordinary class are poorer than before the Chinese coronavirus. And I can tell you just from an aesthetic standpoint, the surrounding areas of Washington, D.C., business has never been better. The ruling class is not just living well. Business is a booming, baby. While you're getting poorer, the entire kingdom of Washington, D.C. has never been cleaner. And that really hit me too, is you drive through these suburbs of Northern Virginia, perfectly manicured streets. And you think to yourself, the cities that aren't in Washington, D.C. have become unbelievably filthy, that are not around there. You go to San Francisco, you go to Seattle, you go to Portland, you go to Denver, you go to Chicago, Philadelphia. the core fabric of America, which actually made America a beautiful and great country, is disintegrating, while the capital itself is growing infinitely wealthy. So what value is produced here? The answer is it's a cesspool of legalized payouts and kickbacks. How do modestly paid politicians and bureaucrats like Fauci live so well? This disparity, everybody, is unsustainable. If you're a Republican consultant out there and you say, boy, why is Donald Trump so popular? Drive through the suburbs of Washington, D.C., from Dulles International Airport to the United States Capitol, and then drive from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to East Palestine, Ohio, and you have your answer. There used to be factories in East Palestine, Ohio, where we made stuff. And Washington, D.C. was kind of this, you rolled your eyes, you go there if necessary, but now it's a destination. Now it's a place where you make a career of how much graft can I extract from the United States taxpayer? How much can I siphon off? While you are getting poorer, your leaders are living the high life. The wealthiest counties are in surrounding Maryland and Fairfax and Loudoun. And they don't create a darn thing. What they do is they peel it from you and they extract it. You want to know why there is a populist nationalist movement that is brewing in this country? You can taste it here. You can feel it here. Very thankful for Speaker McCarthy for how he hosted us today. He was great for all of our student leaders. They were 400 of our top student leaders were treated really well. But I'll be honest, I looked at our Capitol and I stood there outside this morning after we were done with some of our meetings, and we had a really great speech and gave the students a tour of the Capitol. It was incredible. And these are fighters. They're great kids. And I stood there and I just kind of put my phone in airplane mode and I looked at the Capitol building and something was missing. I did not have the reverence for that Capitol that I did 10 years ago. Not that I don't respect it, but I felt like an outside regime is currently occupying our government. It felt as if an un-American pathogen has taken over the host, consumed the Constitution, and consumed the instruments of power, and that the promise of America is currently in jeopardy from an outside force. The holiness that many of us have once felt when looking at that beautiful Capitol building feels like it has been desecrated and profaned, and that idealism has been chipped away. GoodRanchers.com is an amazing resource. I love the meat from Good Ranchers. Look, they now have new prime pork at Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is the number one place to get America's best beef and chicken, and now they have the best pork as well. What is prime pork? Well, it's like prime steak. It's more marbling, better coloring, and it's more tender by 25% over other pork. This is 100% American-raised pork that you can trust and seriously enjoy. Use my code to get $30 off your box of America's Best Beef, Chicken, and Pork today. Go to GoodRanchers.com, and you could use our discount code Charlie to get $30 off any box. Look, Good Ranchers has done it again. I thought they'd stop at the best beef in the country, but then they get sensational all-American chicken too. Surely they couldn't redefine another protein source from American farms, but they did. You might be thinking, I've never heard of prime pork before, and that's the problem. Prime pork has amazing marbling, just like prime steak. So check it out at GoodRanchers.com. Head to GoodRanchers.com and change the way you buy pork, beef, and chicken. Use promo code Kirk for $30 off your box at GoodRanchers.com. Now's the time to get American meat conveniently delivered to your door. Use promo code Kirk for $30 off delivery of America's best beef, chicken, and prime pork today. Head to GoodRanchers.com and change the way you buy pork, beef, and chicken. They're a great company. Check it out. I use them and I love them. In fact, we're having Good Ranchers meet this weekend. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. We are in the Capitol as the districts grow poorer, live from the Kingdom of Washington, D.C. Pan Am today, Pan Am tomorrow, and Pan Am forever. You don't get the reference. I do recommend you watch these films. They're well acted and well written. I have no idea the intent behind Hollywood's production of these films. But regardless of the intent, the actual product is a perfect picture of what we are living through. If you don't know the Hunger Games films, the framing is that there are several external districts that work hard in manual labor, coal, natural resources, that constantly send their hard-earned resources to the capital while the capital is perfectly manicured, living opulent lives. And again, I don't know if the intent of that film or the books before the film were to actually display what is happening right outside the window here in the Kingdom of Washington, D.C. But I'm a big believer that when there is a piece of art that confirms something true, you should pursue that piece of art, because then all of a sudden you see it differently and you're able to look at it more analytically. It doesn't always happen. Again, there's plenty wrong with the Hunger Games, but I will say Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of America's greatest ever actors, fortunately passed away. He gives a great performance, and so does Donald Sutherland, who I think is now 88 years old, gives a first-class performance. I'm not a fan of Jennifer Lawrence, but she actually did a really good job in that. And so I'm reflecting on this, and I remember the first time I came to Washington, D.C., and I was struck with awe and grandeur. Now, maybe I was naive. That was 10 years ago. Maybe I was just young, naive, 18 years old, whatever. But honestly, in the years that followed, there was a sense of the holy. And I do not mean holy in a spiritual way, okay? But holy, if you actually use the word in the Hebrew, means separate, elevated. That you take it seriously, okay? And before I get a bunch of hate mail, oh, Charlie, how dare you call, you know, government institutions holy? What I'm trying to, here's a great example. If you see someone throw a flag on the ground, you get upset. You don't do that to the flag. It's holy. It should be separate. It should be elevated. There should be a flag code. I'm total in agreement with that, right? And I think we've all felt that way about our government institutions. Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, White House, Capitol Building. You want to have that be a place where there's a little bit sacred. But if I'm being honest with you, walking the streets of Washington, D.C. this morning, I feel as if it's been desecrated. That it's not the center of liberty, that it's kind of this heartbeat of degeneracy, the center of payoffs and backslapping deals and debt and avarice and pride, literally. And I cronyism, and I'm driving by these remarkably ugly government buildings, Department of Interior, Department of Labor. And so we stop at a stoplight this morning in Washington, D.C., and I look out the window, and Mikey and our team says, "So what's this building? What do they do?" I said, "They make you poor." He said, "What?" I said, "It's the Federal Reserve." So they're in charge of making you poor. We go to the next building. What is it? Department of Education. He said, "What does that do?" They say, they groom your kids. And we go to the next building. He says, "What's that?" I said, "That's the EPA. They make sure that our beautiful gifts of fossil fuels are not able to be used. And we go after our entrepreneurs in Midland, Texas, and in the Balkan shale." And then we go to the next stoplight. And he says, "Oh, that's the White House." I said, "Well, we know what happens there. We don't need too big of an explanation there." And then we go by the Treasury Department. He says, "Oh, what's that building?" I said, "They're the ones that have covered up for Hunter Biden, and they send IRS agents against patriot-loving Americans. They're the ones that cover up for the international bribery scheme." Then we drive on past that, and he says, "What's that building?" I said, "That's the J. Edgar Hoover FBI building." I said, "You see that on the sixth floor? That's where they concocted the coup against Donald Trump. No one got held accountable. Right up there. That's where James Comey, Andy McCabe, Bruce and Nellie Orr, Peter Strzok, Smirk. That's where they all convened. That's where they conspired. Seventh floor. Up there." I said, "They're probably doing it again right now. No one went to jail. You see right up there? Those are the guys. Probably Jack Smith has a standing office right in that building right there. Currently going after someone running for the presidency." So I was driving through Washington, D.C. What once I had a sense of reverence and the holy. At every building, I could pinpoint how they're at war against you. Federal Reserve is destroying your purchasing power. The Treasury is covering up the international crimes of the Biden family. The FBI is coming after moms and dads and school boards and infiltrating Latin mass. Driving through Washington, D.C. this morning, it was a museum of tyranny, authoritarianism, degeneracy. I was not struck with awe and wonder. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, they're celebrating over 80 million pillows sold. Mike Lindell with MyPillow wants to thank you by giving you the lowest price in history on their MyPillows. You'll receive a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98. Regular price is $69.98 and just $10 more for a king size.
With this special anniversary offer, you'll receive a deep discount on all MyPillow products, such as their bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Kirk to receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. Let's support my friend Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. It's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining me now is one of my favorite people. And I honestly, he's been so awesome to our country. I'm so glad he won re-election. And he has been one of the few voices on this Ukraine disaster to offer moral clarity. It's Senator Mike Lee from the great state of Utah. Senator, thank you for joining the program. Walk us through your tweet yesterday on Ukraine and NATO. Take as much time as you need, Senator Mike Lee.
Well, thanks so much, Charlie. Thanks for having me on the show. Now, it's hard to know which tweet, so I'll try to combine the best of the messages of my the 18,000 tweets I sent yesterday, because I was fired up about this. Here's what happened.
Article 5 of NATO. Yeah.
Exactly. I had 18,000 tweets on Article 5 of NATO. That's what I'm referring to. But I'm going to combine those and tell you what I was referring to generally. So just 16 Republican senators, only 16, and not a single Democrat voted to affirm a very simple principle, one offered up as an amendment to the Defense Authorization Act by Senator Rand Paul. And that amendment was just one sentence long. It just affirmed that Article 5 of the NATO treaty doesn't supersede the constitutional process ordained by Article 1, Section 8, in which it's Congress that decides whether to engage the United States in war. So not only is this just taking this out of Congress where it belongs, that's typically where we see this power eroded, is at the expense of or in deference to the executive branch, to the president of the United States. But here, it's to an international treaty, an international body, a group of other nations. Now, look, even a plain reading of the text of the NATO treaty makes clear that under Article 5, the United States agrees to nothing specific. It certainly doesn't have an ironclad agreement to go into a full-blown war or to do anything more than, quote, take such action it deems necessary, close quote, to help an ally under attack. And so this is hardly tantamount to an unqualified agreement to go to war. And Article 5 qualifies that. But it goes even further. In another tweet, Charlie, I referred to the fact that Article 11 of the NATO treaty adds to this by saying that the treaty should be ratified and its provisions carried out by the parties in accordance with their respective constitutional processes. This completely refutes the underlying assertion that they were making. Does that make sense? So the opposition
I mean, the obvious, sorry to interject, Senator, the obvious kind of initial reaction I have is we have an experience about 100 years ago, 105 years ago of World War I starting because of a chain reaction of kind of interlocked alliances. And I'm afraid that NATO Article 5 could stumble us into an all-out kinetic war against Russia, which then does beg the question, Senator, aren't we technically at war against Russia? We're financing weapons. We're sending weapons. We're propping up the Ukrainian government. We are also sanctioning Russia to a great extent. Are we at war with Russia by all objective measurements?
Not by all objective measurements, and I wouldn't describe us as being at war with Russia. There is a difference. Doesn't mean that those what we are doing isn't serious, because it is serious. Doesn't mean that what we're doing doesn't carry substantial risk that scares me to death, so much so that it's it caused me to publicly express and vote reflecting those concerns. My reluctance to do this. But there is a difference at this point between us providing weapons, material, training, money, and so forth. But it becomes a difference by degree. What these guys are trying to do, and it's far too close to comfort for me. I'm not comfortable with where we are and have indicated that publicly and have voted accordingly. I'm not comfortable with where we are. What I'm saying is these guys want to take us. They want to close the loop, Charlie. They want to take us to the next step where we would be at war the second Russia does anything with regard to any NATO ally, anything that they can characterize as a war, because they're characterizing Article 5 as Article 5 not only allows but compels us to go to war the second that happens. And so there are two huge problems with that. Number one, NATO treaty refutes that. And number two, even if the NATO treaty did not refute that, the Constitution isn't modified. It's not suspended. It's not repealed. It's not amended by a treaty. Remember that the constitutional process for adopting an amendment requires 2/3 supermajority vote from both houses of Congress, followed by ratification by 3/4 of the states. You can ratify a treaty just by 2/3 supermajority in the Senate, and that's all. It's a lot easier. You can't allow that to modify the Constitution, and we have never purported to do so. But ultimately, what you saw yesterday didn't even have to do with a misunderstanding of the plain language of the NATO treaty. No, it had everything to do with protecting the interests of Ukraine and of our European allies, doing so with reckless disregard to our own interests. And the Department of Defense even had the audacity to publicly, officially oppose the Rand Paul Amendment because they said it could, quote, send an inappropriate signal to NATO allies and potential adversaries. This is nuts. This means our own Pentagon seems to be more concerned about the interests of Berlin and Paris and London than upholding the laws that these leaders swore to defend. And I think every American ought to be very concerned about this.
So Senator, I want to ask, where is all this money going? It's between $150 and $200 billion. Has there been a forensic audit of this? And do you have confidence that this money is being well spent and actually being deployed in the way they say it is? I don't think we should be spending the money at all. But even to add insult to injury, I'm not even confident that it's going to toward its intended endpoint. Senator Mike Lee.
No, we have very little visibility into that. This is not set up to be transparent. There are some fig leaves in that direction, but I don't think we have adequate visibility into what they're doing to be able to assess that. And in any event, when you're dealing with sums that large, you know, between $120 and $200 billion, or whatever sum it actually is, the sum keeps changing in part because our Department of Defense and others have acknowledged that they made some accounting mistakes that dramatically inflated, dramatically escalated the amount of aid that we gave them. And it's just yet another indication about the fact that we don't know what's going there. But even if there weren't other problems, even if we had full visibility, which we don't, the mere fact that it's half a world away and that we're dealing with sums this large, and that we're dealing with a country that, let's just say, to put it really mildly, doesn't have the best anti-corruption record on the planet.
Yeah.
Means that's, that this is a virtual certainty that a whole lot of this is not even going toward what we wanted.
Right. And so to kind of put a cap on this, Senator, you're one of the few voices that is speaking out against this. Senator J.D. Vance is, Senator Josh Hawley, Senator Rand Paul. So there's a growing chorus of you that are asking the critical questions. But amongst your colleagues, Senator, can you fill us in into what success looks like here? I mean, this feels as if we're about to get into another quagmire of decades of proportion of trillions of dollars spent. We're well on our way. What do your colleagues say in the hallway in private as to what a reasonable level of success would be here in our involvement in Eastern Ukraine?
Okay. Most of them don't talk about it. Most of them say they speak only in generalities, those who support this effort by saying, hey, we're weakening Russia. This is good for us because it's wearing down Russia. And we got to make sure we don't send the wrong signal to Russia. But they don't often articulate what it is that they think that looks like that's reasonably possible. For a long time, Many of my colleagues have said that, you know, what could happen is that after we wear down Russia long enough, Putin gets tired of it. He gets weary and he decides to accept some sort of cessation of hostilities, in which he walks away and maybe there is some form of more formal recognition of Russia's position, say, in Crimea. In order for Russia to walk away from the Donbass. They've been talking about that sort of thing for over a year, and it hasn't materialized. I don't know how realistic it is. And that's one of the reasons why not a lot of talk about specific details as to how this ends. Look, their best-case scenario still is kind of abstract. Our worst-case scenario, or even just the reasonably likely scenario, is potentially horrific. Because you just, when dealing with a foreign adversary, and this is why I have concerns about even doing what we're doing without taking the additional steps of formally going to war. Every step we take in this direction are steps in the direction of a nuclear-armed geopolitical adversary. It doesn't mean that their military top to bottom is as good as ours, but their nuclear weapons program is in many ways second to none. I mean, it's at least huge. Some would argue that it is more capable of even more destruction than ours, in part because of personnel and in part because of equipment and the cultures of our respective governments. But regardless, any way you look at it, whenever you're getting into a fight of one sort or another, whenever you're moving in the direction of something that could easily turn to war with a nuclear-armed adversary, you've got to tread cautiously. And we're not showing any caution at all. We're acting with reckless disregard for the safety of Americans and ignoring the fact that this isn't not every war is our war. And it's as though they want to lead us into a land war in Europe by blatantly ignoring the Constitution, elevating the NATO treaty to do something that it doesn't do and doesn't say, contrary to what it says, in fact, let alone the Constitution, and putting American blood and treasure on the line, despite decades of European indifference toward prioritizing their own security. So in many respects, one could argue what we're doing, what we've been doing, is subsidizing Western European socialism, because we provide so many of their security needs, they don't pay up their 2%, most of them, and we therefore make it easier for them to provide their social programs because they can rely on us.
Senator Mike Lee, we are out of time. Thank you for your clarity on this topic. For your colleagues that think you are going to outlast Russians, Russians are good at a couple things: chugging vodka, writing long, depressing novels, and suffering for long periods of time in military environments. I wouldn't want to fight a long war against Russia. Senator Mike Lee, God bless you. You're a great American.
Thanks so much.
So it's well known that the Democrats are the party of sexual anarchy, and they really are the party of outright pornography, whether it be the trans individual that was stripping on the White House lawn, whether it be supporting the perverts that dance nakedly in front of children and they call that pride parades, whether it be the widespread proliferation and acceptance of quote-unquote sex work is real work, AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, they would keep on tweeting, sex work is real work, or the decriminalization of prostitution. The Democrat Party is the pro-pornography party. They're the pro-sexual anarchy party. They have been for quite some time. So Marjorie Taylor Greene really broke the system yesterday in a brilliant way. So Marjorie Taylor Greene holds up a picture in the hearing of pictures from the Hunter Biden laptop, blacked out, mind you, showing all of the sex acts that Hunter Biden engaged in. And of course, they are profane, but it goes to show these are real things. And by the way, it ties together with what Hunter Biden used as legitimate tax deductions, not legitimate, illegitimate tax deductions on his IRS tax returns. He deducted prostitutes. So Marjorie Taylor Greene wanted to remind people what these tax deductions were, showed 123 of the behavior that Hunter Biden engaged in. And the Democrats lose their mind. Washington Post has an article. Marjorie Taylor Greene's explicit visuals at Hunter Biden hearing draws rebukes. Hold on a second. These are not Marjorie Taylor Greene's visuals. These are Hunter Biden's visuals. Marjorie Taylor Greene's just holding them up. Now, it's just, it's so rich to me to see the American Democrat Party and the regime media get angry about somebody showing grotesque images in public. Whether it be the Hollywood films, the textbooks that they put forward, and Marjorie Taylor Greene should know, the only acceptable place to put pornography is in an 8-year-old's book. That's where pornography belongs, Marjorie Taylor Greene. How dare you show pornography at an adult congressional hearing where no children are around? How dare you do such a thing? No, no, pornography belongs in the hands of children. Just show picture after picture after picture, guys, on screen. These are textbooks that the Democrats are defending and saying, you want to ban books? I'm Gavin Newsom. You want to ban books? Genderqueer. This book is gay. Let's talk about it. And if it's making you angry on screen, this is what we put in front of children. And the Democrats are in full Greta Thunberg mode. How dare you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, show pornography at a congressional hearing? Meanwhile, you got trans people taking off their clothes. You got drag queens at public libraries. You have outright pornography in the textbooks. Everyone's fine. No big deal. They're screaming from the rooftops. Sex work is real work. You look at these pride parades. It makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like a picnic. And they're angry that Marjorie Taylor Greene committed the ultimate crime. The crime of noticing. They're not mad that it's pornography. They're not mad because those images, they are full defenders of it. It's the sexual liberation. They bow the knee to the statue of Dr. Kinsey. They pay their tithe and offering to the false god of John Money. They believe that sexual liberation opens up the soul and the spirit, all that crap that they teach you in college. No, 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 no. They are not angry that it's pornography. They are angry that it is explicit images of the president's son. That's what they don't like. And they have this false and fake outrage. How dare you show this? We, the holy priests of the Democrat Party, we are the good, we're going to morally virtue signal. By the way, let's keep on having naked people dance in front of kids at a library. By the way, she blacked out all the images, and maybe you should be more disgusted at Hunter Biden's activity rather than the congresswoman who is exposing that activity. Are they concerned about pedophilia and the decriminalization of pedophilia in California? This is the same media that tells us that Sound of Freedom is a QAnon adjacent film. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you get 10 out of 10 in a standing ovation for exposing these low-life degenerates that call themselves Democrats. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. In fact, email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you think Donald Trump should debate, yes or no? A couple of you that answer will be put in the running to win a signed book, so email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.